Welcome to the Jim Morrison Memorial Hour. As of July 3rd, 2021, it will be 50 years since his death. I'm Molly Shepard. I'm a lifelong student of consciousness, a professional psychic, and a shameless Doors fan. I feel that I was inspired by Jim Morrison's words at a crucial time in my life, as I'm sure a lot of you do who were born too late to experience it firsthand. What I hope to bring you are some of his words straight from the source. I think you'll find a lot of what he said over 50 years ago is still relevant today. 5 decades of corporate narrative and conspiracy, both homegrown and deliberately planted, have overshadowed the wisdom that we were gifted with. In the next hour, we are going to be listening to some clips from the lost interview tapes, The Ceremony Continues, and Stoned But Articulate. We'll also play a few pieces of An American Prayer, the ones we're allowed to on FM anyway, and a few Doors tunes as well.
Resident Mockery, give us an hour for magic. We of the purple glove, we of the starling flight and velvet hour. We of Arabic pleasures breed, we of sundom in the night. Give us a creed to believe, a night of lust. Give us trust in the night. Give of color 100 hues, a rich mandala for me and you. And for your silky pillowed house, a head, wisdom, and a bed. Troubled decree, resolute mockery has claimed thee. We used to believe in the good old days. We still receive in little ways the things of kindness and unsporting brow, forget and allow.
Morrison made an incredible contribution to consciousness expansion with his words. In his work are constant themes of other realms and an ongoing dialogue with the other world. Morrison volunteered as a vehicle, if you will, and it really is shamanic in nature, to explore the other dimensions. We are about to experience The Crystal Ship from the 1967 debut album The Doors. It was also the B-side to their first hit, Light My Fire. I always found it interesting that Light My Fire would be their first introduction to the world, because Morrison, while often compared to Dionysus, is really Promethean in that Prometheus brought fire to the people and then suffered greatly for it.
Before you slip into unconsciousness, I'd like to have another kiss, another flashing chance at bliss, another kiss, another kiss. The days are bright and filled with pain. Enclose me in your gentle rain. The time you ran was too insane. We'll meet again. We'll meet again. A thousand thrills of
The doors of perception was a phrase first coined by William Blake in 1793 in The Marriage of Heaven and Hell. If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. If ever there was an invocation to mass awakening or collective nirvana, this is it. Break On Through was the Doors' first single, debuting in 1967.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, break on through to the other side, yeah. Chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can't you still recall the time we cried? Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Morrison lived in the famed Laurel Canyon. He makes reference to the store where the creatures meet, a store which still exists as Laurel Canyon General Store, which had a room with a shower in the basement that Cass Elliot lived in before her rise to fame. They also both went to the same high school in Alexandria, Virginia, George Washington High School. From what I have gathered, she was leaving about the same time he was arriving, even though they would have been in the same graduating class. This is Love Street from the 1968 album Waiting for the Sun.
She lives on Love Street, lingers long on Love Street. She has a house and garden. I would like to see what happens. She has robes and she has monkeys, lazy diamond studded flunkies. She has wisdom and knows what to do. She has me and she has you. Love Street.
There's the store where the creatures meet. I wonder what they do in there. Summer Sunday and a year. I guess I like it fine so far.
Next clip is from the Lost Energy tapes. As a citizen of LA, here's what Morrison had to say about its police force at the time.
The cops in LA are different than in most towns. They are idealists, and they're almost fanatical in believing in the rightness of their cause or their profession. They have a whole philosophy behind their tyranny. Whereas in most places, the police are doing a job. But in LA, I've noticed a real sense of righteousness about what they're doing, which is kind of scary.
The way Jim Morrison looked to the world was iconic. The poet shirt, the black leather pants, and the haircut are nearly all exclusively attributed to him, or to whatever fleeting part of his personality that may have happened to be. His haircut was fashioned after Alexander the Great by Jay Sebring, stylist of the stars, before becoming a Manson family victim in August of 1969. More recently, the leather pants Morrison wore on Absolutely Live sold for $43,700 at Sotheby's Auction House in 2005, which I am sure he would have found absurd. This is from The Ceremony Continues.
I don't know, I must have been out of my mind to do that. Can you imagine doing that? Posing for a picture? Can you imagine? You know, and really looking in the camera and really posing? It's insane. I must have been out of my mind. If I had the whole thing to do over again, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't.
Having such an iconic aura alongside deep sentience must have been a really weird trip. Jim Morrison was transfigured into a mythological figure both during and after his life. It really is quite strange.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. You're
horses will signal their tired head. The hostess is grinning, her guests sleep from sinning. Can you talk of sin and you
all the beauty and awakening that were happening at the time, it happened against a grim backdrop. It's widely known that Jim Morrison was the son of a Navy admiral. His father was in command of a carrier division in the Gulf of Tonkin. The Gulf of Tonkin was the incident that ignited the Vietnam War. This is from the lost interview tapes.
I'm sure the whole basis of the war going on now is economic. But you know, it's a funny thing. From the comfortable position of your TV set in your living room, war is a very, no matter how horrible, well, it's the horror, it makes it very glamorous, you know. It's a great drama, life and death right there, a struggle. And we're all infected from youth, you know, with little kids running around playing war and playing cowboys and Indians or whatever.
Morrison's relationship to death and the other side came to him at a young age. From An American Prayer, here is Don's Highway.
Me and my mother and father and a grandmother and a grandfather were driving through the desert at dawn, and a truckload of Indian workers had either hit another car or just, I don't know what happened. But there were Indians scattered all over the highway, bleeding to death. So the car pulls up and stops. That was the first time I tasted fear. I must have been about four. Like a child, it's like a flower. His head is just floating in the breeze, man. The reaction I get now, thinking about it, looking back, is that the souls or the ghosts of those dead Indians, maybe one or two of them, were just running around, freaking out, and just leaped into my soul. And they're still there.
I find it really interesting that both Jim and his father were present for this. Both of them having such opposing destinies on the future world stage. A father leading troops in a war, while a son both opposes it and writes the soundtrack to it, and in doing so gives both strength and understanding to the troops serving in Vietnam, and at the very least, an anecdotal map for the ones back home in the midst of a revolution in thought. This is Peace Frog, live from Live in New York, and The Unknown Soldier from Waiting for the Sun.
Soldier, it's all over for this unknown soldier. Make a grave for the unknown soldier, nestled in your hollow shoulder. The unknown soldier.
What left the biggest imprint on my own awakening is the obvious fact that if we're not careful, we're brainwashed by the mainstream media. This is from the Lost interview tapes.
Most people feel completely void and helpless in controlling their own destinies or controlling the destiny of human life. And I think it's sad. More people should be involved rather than designating all these powers to a few individuals. I think the average person, whatever that is, should be a part of it somehow. And I think everyone feels that events are just going on without their knowledge or control. I think it's one of the tragedies of our time. I suppose it has always been that way, but now it's just become so obvious, you know. Decisions are made for you in which you have no part of at all. I just lament the fact that so many people are content with living a very quiet, well-mannered, orderly life when so many obvious injustices, I guess, are going on, and they just seem to ignore it somehow, or not care at all, just let it happen without ever becoming involved. I think that's sad. To me, there's something incredibly sad about a bunch of human beings sitting down watching something take place. And just when you think about it, I love movies as much as anyone else, but the spectacle of millions and millions of people sitting in movie theaters and in front of television sets every night watching a second or third hand reproduction of reality going on when the real world is right there in their living room or right outside in the street or down the block somewhere. I think it's a tool to somnambulize or hypnotize people into a kind of waking sleep.
Breaking free from the mental and musical programming in the mainstream is essential to our spiritual survival. It's a machine that imprisons our minds.
Yeah, well, they're being programmed by their radios. They only play the major radio stations, rock stations, only play 30 songs over and over and over, 24 hours a day. And it's been proven that what you hear the most is what you like the most. So there's really no choice involved. Someone is programming it. What everyone should say is the medium is the message, and the message is me. I mean, that's the answer, is for everyone to, you're asking for an answer. The answer is for everyone to stand up and say, I'm me, and be fully aware of that fact and let everyone else know it, that you are yourself, and express it.
Then, as now, music is planned, programmed, prepackaged, and then presented to you. Maybe Morrison saw the future by being conscious of the music industry in his own time. We live in a world of stations that play the same things over and over again. Mechanical licensing. Repetition of the same songs till you have no choice but to like them because they're in your head.
When the music's over, when the music's over here, when the music's over, turn up the lights, turn up the lights, turn up the lights. When the music's over, when the music's over, turn up the lights, turn up the lights, turn up the lights. When the music is your special. Yeah.
cancel my subscription to the resurrection. Send my credentials to the house of detention. I got some friends inside. The face in the mirror won't stop. The girl in the window won't drop. A feast of friends, alive, she cried, waiting for me. Before I sing into the big sleep, I want to hear, I want to hear the scream of the butterfly. Getting tired of hanging around. Waiting around with our heads to the ground. I hear a very gentle sound. Very near yet, very far. Very soft, yeah, very clear. Come today, come today. What have they done to the earth? What have they done to our fair sister? Ravaged and plundered and ripped her and bit her. Stuck her with knives in the sight of the dawn. And tied her with fences and dragged her down. I hear a very gentle sound. With your ear down to the ground. We want the world and we want it.
We want the world and we want it.
Now. Now. We'll be right back.
music's over. When the music's over, yeah. When the music's over, turn out the lights, turn out the lights, turn out the lights. While the music is your special friend, dying song fire is in the intense. Music is your only friend.
Our ideas about our life work are often opposed to a fundamental need to make money. Morrison called our attention to the fact that we are all essentially slaves to this. Here are some thoughts on trading your hours for a handful of dimes.
Let's put it this way. I think with our, you know, with our economic system, you know, and tax structure, all that, I don't think it's possible ever to just retire and never work, you know. You know, because the economy keeps increasing. If you drop out of the economy, then it just passes you up, you know, in a couple years, and you're left high and dry. I don't think it's possible to retire in a capitalistic society.
Yeah, come on. Love my girl. She looking good. Come on. One more.
5 to 1, baby. 1 in 5. No one here gets out of.
Get together one more time. to see. I gotta go out in this car with these people.
A multitude of Morrison's ideas appear to give nod to both reincarnation and Nietzsche's theory of eternal recurrence. There is an inspiration towards an existential liberation mixed with it that throughout my life has brought me great joy.
The movie will begin in 5 moments, the mindless voice announced. All those unseated will await the next show. We filed slowly, languidly into the hall. The auditorium was vast and silent. As we seated and were darkened, the voice continued. The program for this evening is not new. You have seen this entertainment through and through. You've seen your birth, your life, and death. You might recall all of the rest. Did you have a good world when you died? Enough to base a movie on? Getting out of here, where are you going? To the other side of morning. Please don't chase the clouds, pagodas.
Go now.
One thing that Morrison made abundantly clear is that we are constantly both exploring and creating the boundaries of reality. That life and art are an interactive experience, and that you live the most vibrant life by authentically participating in it. It is absolutely our choice. Thank you for listening. Here are a few more words from Jim Morrison.
I think for many people, especially city dwellers, it's a state of constant, total paranoia. As I understand it, paranoia is defined as an irrational fear. But what if the paranoia is real? Then you just cope with it second by second.
I felt for a long time that somehow we're all afflicted these days with the psychology of the voyeur. And anytime we try to break out of that bound of passivity, our actions usually seem awkward and obscene, like an invalid that's forgotten how to walk.